Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast, the only podcast being recorded in my sports bra. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how are you?
You just ran 5K.
I just ran a 5K as if it was a joke.
Yeah, on a whim.
On a whim, I woke up and said, I'm going to run a 5K.
Sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, I woke up and said, today I'm going to run a 5K.
Oh, God. Don't make that your ringtone.
Ladies and gentlemen, divorce is upon us. Norm, what's going on? How you feeling? Scale 1 to 10 in terms of self-esteem.
Oh, in terms of self-esteem.
I mean, it's literally the question I ask every week.
And every week I'm like, surprise you asked.
What am I feeling 1 to 10?
Yeah, maybe you're in 5K. I'm all right. What do you think? What am I? I'm probably a little bit above average. I'm probably a 6.
I would call you a 6. You're in a great mood this morning. You have no beefs yet.
No beefs yet.
It's not quite noon, and you usually beef between 12 and 5.
Yeah,
but
I usually develop a new beef around 10 a.m.
But no beef yet.
Yeah, why is that? I always find something to beef about pretty early.
Do you know why I think you're not beefing?
Why?
Because I wasn't in the house.
Wow. Okay.
And when I'm in the house, it's a bit of a beefier vibe.
Beefier?
Oh my Yum. God.
Yeah, I'm giving off a bit of a beefy vibe.
No, you seem to be doing well this morning. You seem in a good mood.
How's your cavalcade of podcasts? Are you still doing them?
It slowed down a bit. I think I ended up doing 14 or something like that total when I blasted for people to put me on their podcast. Everybody's so nice, so welcoming.
Bit of a beef blast.
A lot of people are saying I beefed up in terms of being a guest on a podcast, and I'm one of the beefier guests.
You're
now.
Beefing out.
I'm beefing out. But no, it's been really fun. Fun meeting new friends. We've started seeing friends, you and I.
Yeah, we have. We're slowly trying to get back into the...
Yeah, one at a time, slowly starting to see people, and... It's been a game changer.
It feels better to see people.
And turns out I'm quite awkward. Turns out I forgot how to have friends. Even though I've talked to them throughout, I'll be sitting with someone and it's so weird to me someone's inside that I'm like, I don't even know what to do about it.
But you're allowed. That's what the vaccine does.
I know. And it's like, that's the whole point of getting the vaccine, but it still feels so weird. And these are like best friends I'm talking. And
Old pals, it feels so weird. And I haven't really seen, this is another thing. I was like, I haven't really seen a lot of people. And then I was like, wait a minute. Before this, I barely saw anyone anyway.
Well, the question is, do you have friends?
Maybe not.
We just went from a 6 to a 3.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Norm, you have friends. It's different. You know how it goes. It's like.
Yeah, of course.
You guys aren't like chomping at the bit to see each other.
Well, and it's hard to gauge whose comfort level is where, and you don't want to ask, you know, that it's contingent that someone has the vaccine that they, you know what I mean? So it's like, whatever, let's just take this one step at a time, take it slow.
It'll happen naturally.
The race to 20 is going actually.
The race to 20 pounds is going well. We're currently tied 5 each.
Yeah, we both have lost 5 pounds.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm basically nothing.
You are.
Well, as a woman.
Right.
As a person, I'm nothing.
Weight-wise,
my self-esteem's at a 0.
Just 5. How are you? You do yours
I
on
clock
the
in on this episode.
With
speaking,
Christian.
Yes, Christian Brune. Speaking of, couple of disclaimers on this one.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Heads up, we talk a lot about death and dying. So that's a big one. If that's a sensitive subject for you right now, still listen.
Yeah, just let it play it through, but turn the volume off.
Turn the volume off, but please like and subscribe. Please leave a review on iTunes.
Don't listen.
About what you thought the episode might have been like.
Don't listen. Just play it through on mute and then rate and subscribe.
You know, speaking of leaving a review, somebody wrote a review about how great I am, and then they wrote, Norm's just okay.
Unbelievable.
I wish I remembered the name.
Unbelievable.
Unreal. So we talk a lot about that, and it gets
time
emotional
The first time I clock in on a 6, all of a sudden I'm like useless, dumb, just okay.
Hey, where's the beef? But Yeah, it gets emotional towards the end. 2 weeks in a row of some emotion.
Wendy's commercial reference from the 70s. The
2 weeks in a row of an emotional episode, both with friends of mine.
Yeah, white boys cry. That's what you're doing.
Unexpected, both of them. And
both friends.
Beautiful, both very good friends. So,
and both for very different reasons.
Very different reasons. So, that's the heads up on this episode. I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. It's awesome.
Christian's great. Really,
it was so good to see him.
Yeah. He's in Vancouver right now.
No, he's in Winnipeg. We cover all that. We cover all that.
I'm learning.
Shall we get into it? Should we launch into this bad boy?
I have nothing else to say.
Okay. Hey, man. Me neither, as it turns out.
I was like, literally, if we had anything else that we need to talk about, I was going to look at the calendar and be like, what do we got going on? But yeah.
I will say I've been studying for my citizenship and I learned the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right.
And it goes like this.
I
pledge to my husband and no one else.
Nice.
Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, please welcome my guest, Christian Brune, right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
That was like dead on.
Christian, the clap was dead on. The podcast has started. I gave you no warning. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my God. This is thrilling. I'm just making sure that my external headphones are working as the speaker. I know we're supposed to clear up all technical issues, but here we are.
No, you know what? This is great. And listen, this might affect your self-esteem because you had one job to do. You didn't do it, obviously. So now, if you don't feel bad about yourself, might I suggest you do? Because
Elena, I always feel bad about myself, so it's okay. You're not going to get one up on me. Mm-mm.
Perfect segue. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about yourself right now? Or in general, the last little bit. You don't have to do right this second.
I would say, honestly, I was thinking about this, and it's a bit of a sliding scale these days, especially today, and we'll get into that. But I would say I'm anywhere from a 3.5 to a 6. Like, I'm, like, swinging up and down today.
Okay. That's a swing. That's okay.
It's a swing. And it's hard to, like, pinpoint what I'm at. I think I'm at a 6 right now because I see you and I just saw Norm and it makes me happy.
Yeah.
Which is always nice. But it's a real roller coaster this 2021. Let me tell you.
Please do. Let's start from the... Okay. I'll quickly say mine. I would say today I'm at a... 7. I'm doing pretty good. Yes, I was very excited for this. Glad that I got you on the books
to
be able to
here.
Record.
Yeah.
Got to see a friend for the first time since post-vax and 2 weeks out for second vax. So that was really fun. And like, we felt really, it just felt like it had been such a long year and it felt like I really overcame something. I mean, we all did, but
yeah.
I'm still in it.
I'm in Canada, so I'm still in it. I'm not vaxxed yet.
Okay. We have tons we have to talk about.
Yes, we do. yes, we do.
Let's start with today specifically. Do you want to tell me like what's up from the 3.5 to the 6?
Sure, I will. And I'll preface this by saying that I debated changing the day of recording this, but then I thought, no, this is a mental health podcast and this definitely pertains to it. So... okay, so last night, I'm currently in Winnipeg, Manitoba, where I'm filming a Hallmark Christmas movie called Crashing Through the Snow.
You got me on the title.
Oh, yeah. And it's a lot of fun, and we're having a blast. But we had a night shoot last night, so I didn't really get to bed until like somewhere between 2 and 3, I'm guessing. And then I had to get up at like 7 this morning because... my family had a virtual funeral for my stepfather this morning.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Christian. I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't really tell anybody. And I don't mean to spring it on you guys, but it's certainly something that's worth talking about, I'm sure.
Yeah, dude, this is the whole point of the podcast, is to talk about what's going on and how and why it's influencing us. And that's like a lot.
It's a lot
to take on.
Yeah.
That's a lot, especially on like not a lot of sleep.
Not a lot of sleep. He passed away 7 weeks ago tomorrow. Okay. So the quick story, let's say, is my stepfather, who's been in my life since I was four, he had a stroke the day after the Super Bowl. A little bit of football talk for you. He got to watch the Super Bowl. He was a huge athletic, you know, he was an athletic guy. He was like 6'5", you know, just a kind of an athletic Adonis of a man. 79 years old, just turned 79 in January. He had a massive stroke the day after the Super Bowl and was in the hospital. And he fought pretty hard for a month, and then pretty much a month to the day passed away. So since then, yeah, it's only been about 7 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks. So it's all quite fresh and raw, and, you know, it's been a rough winter. It's been like a real whirlwind to kind of go through all that, while in the middle of a pandemic. I was in Vancouver for all of that, and, my family's in Toronto, and we were all separated, and then of course COVID just fucking sucks and makes everything worse. And my mom could only see him in the hospital 2 days a week for 2 hours a day.
Oh no!
Yeah, and
oh no!
It was just the worst month that I can remember in a long time. And I thought the beginning of the pandemic was bad, and I thought the continuation of the pandemic was bad. But man, let me tell you, a sick parent to that, and it's worse.
Christian, I really can't thank you enough for coming here today, because I know you guys had the service in the morning, but I'm so glad that like we can just chat and like whatever you need to get off your chest and stuff like that. Because
I mean,
you know,
I got a lot to get off my chest if you're ready for it.
I am, because I know with family and when there's passing and stuff, and just, you know, with people who've passed in my family and stuff like that, sometimes you can't turn to family necessarily because everyone's feeling the exact same pain as you. So it's kind of like, it's hard to be able to unload without feeling like you're burdening someone. But I'm fresh ears. This audience is fresh ears, and everybody gets comfort from hearing other people have struggled if they're struggling as well. Not like misery loves company, but more so we're all human.
You know what?
And like, we're all in this together.
Like, I'm a pal of you and Norm's, and I don't know how I escaped. How many episodes have you done? Like,
I think like 70 or like something like that.
I don't know how I escaped like the first 60 of these episodes. I'm like the worst friend ever, because I just discovered that you had a podcast because you like tweeted about it and I saw it. Like, apparently you're not on my feed enough, Alana. So I started listening to this.
It's because all my tweets are about my butt.
Well, most of mine are butt related too, but I started listening to this podcast basically within the last 6 weeks, and like listening to like odd episodes. And I got to tell you, it is such a help. And it's, I mean, I lost my real father when I was 22, almost 20 years ago. Don't do the math. And in terms of my age, I'm still young. And so I know what loss feels like, especially the loss of a parent. And I struggled with that journey for a really good long time. And I'm still, I would say 20 years later, still struggling with it. But honestly, just your podcast has been just a real help to hear also familiar voices of people that I know and love and respect. And also people that I'm just a fan of in the comedy world. So to hear their struggles and what they go through has just been such a blessing. But it, I mean, it has been like it's been really comforting in the last 6 weeks or so, because it's tough, man. I mean, this pandemic, I've been mostly on my own, and it's just nice to hear familiar voices and friends.
Oh, Christian, for starters, thank you for promoting the podcast on the podcast. Second of all...
I'm just plugging you guys, because I think you could use a plug on your own show.
We could use a plug in the middle of the show. But no, I really appreciate you saying that, and I'm so glad the podcast could be of help. Like, I have to be honest with you, you know, I want to bring mental health issues to light, and so people don't feel so alone in their struggles and what have you, but really... this whole thing is pretty selfish and about me.
Great.
Just wanting to hang out with my friends.
Oh,
because
that's so nice.
It will, I mean, you've heard the podcast. It's like I'm two different people from the beginning to the end. Like, I'm always excited to have my guests, but it's like, I'm just like, oh my God, like I learned something new about a friend, or I was able to help them, or they were able to help me, or we were just able to like see each other's faces.
Yeah.
Which is like,
which is nice.
Which is nice, and which we all took for granted. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like, I'm so sorry to hear about this, and that it is so recent, and that your family was separated. Like, I think people are feeling that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the year it's dragged on so long, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccine, but being in Canada, I don't know how that's weighing on
you.
You
know what? It's weighing on me a lot. I certainly, as the first round of vaccinations in the U.S. were getting underway, all my friends in L.A. were getting them very quickly, and I was going through, you know, pretty heavy FOMO, you know, for that that vaccination. And we were looking at a timeline in Canada of like end of September when we would get it, which was just insane to me. And I got to give credit to the vaccination gods out there, because they've certainly bumped up the timeline. I can technically get vaccinated right now with the AstraZeneca vaccine, which I have zero hesitancy to take.
Good for you. Thank God.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Just take it. And I mean, I'm not even going to, I mean, we can't go into the science about it, but I have no hesitation in taking any of them. The only reason why I'm not getting it right now is because I'm currently, of course, in the 3-week span, in this whole year of pandemic, the 3-week span where I'm like working very steadily and don't have the time to go, first of all, search for an available vaccine, because the supply and demand is, you know, obviously quite under stress right now. But I don't have the time to get the vaccine because, like all my friends who are getting it, who are having, you know, pretty strong reactions to that first shot, they screen us every day before we film for any of the symptoms of COVID-19. They take our temperature, and we get tested for COVID-19 three times a week. So, out of a 5-day shooting schedule per week. Mm-hmm. And so, if I was to get the vaccine, like I had Thursday off. It's my only day off on this shoot for 3 weeks. And, in terms of weekday and, you know, I kind of searched for a vaccine here in Winnipeg. But everything was booked up. But I also thought if I got it and like woke up the next day with a fever or like, you know, some symptoms, then they check my temperature at work, and then, you know, they can't let me into work. And then that screws the whole production, 'cause it's a very tight schedule. And, you know, sadly, after, you know, waiting so long for this vaccine, I have to wait till I get back to Vancouver, when I can have some downtime to really go through the process in case it affects me. But you know what?
But I got a fever. Broke a fever.
All my friends have, my sister has, and they've all, and it all goes away. And, you know, I'm not afraid of that. And I look forward to, just basically getting on the way to being better protected against COVID-19. So,
best fever of my life.
Yeah,
couldn't
exactly
have been happier. I was like, sounds good. I don't care.
I have an excuse to eat garbage for the next 12 hours.
Yeah, which I truly did.
And I can binge watch something, which is what we've been doing anyways for the last year.
Which is what we've been doing. I mean, you've heard Norm and I are in the race to 20 of our binge eating and binge watching. So yeah, dude, we've all been doing it.
Yeah.
But that, good for you though, for being responsible that you have a job to do and you have to set yourself up to be able to do it, especially like, I mean, work is so far and few between, obviously, because so much has shut down. But are you grateful for the distraction of work, or has it been something that's kind of hard to have to push through because of these other things happening in your personal life?
I don't think I've ever not been grateful for work. I love my job. I love to do it, and I love every opportunity to do it, because if I had my druthers, I'd be doing it every day of the week. And obviously we know the reality of what film life is like. It's you know, a lot of long breaks, and especially this last year has been pretty rough for that. So I get energized by being on set. It's my happy place. It's really truly what I love to do. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for the distraction. I couldn't be happier for the paycheck. Like, it's so nice to get paid for something again, because I really needed that. And it's just so nice to get to do what I love to do. You know, whether or not there's a pandemic on, I'm always grateful for every opportunity. And I do welcome it. I'm the kind of person who is very, so to do this podcast and to talk about the grief that I'm going through is difficult, because I'm a very private person when it comes to grief and mourning. I don't reach out to my friends. I don't talk to my best friends about it.
None of us knew.
Well, yeah. Exactly. I haven't posted anything on social media, and you know, my siblings have, and I haven't posted a photo. I haven't said anything about my stepdad, and I don't know why. And oddly enough, this is crazy. A few days before he died, a few days before he died, I had to say goodbye to him on FaceTime on a Friday, and then he passed away on the Sunday. So the Thursday before that Friday, I had my first ever therapy session. Like, at 41, I've started going to therapy, finally, at the behest of like so many friends and people. Like, they're just like, maybe you should go to therapy. Finally, you know, decided to just do it. And the timing couldn't have been odder and more fantastic, I think. Just because I've had so much to try and unpack and make sense of, and you know, having a therapist just on Zoom every week has just made such a help, because it's been such a help because, it's something I should have done 20 years ago, to be honest.
But you know what? Maybe if you had, like, originally with the passing of your father, like, to be in therapy at that age versus this age,
right,
you might have come at it with some resistance. So
true.
Because when I was in my 20s, I was in therapy, and I was very resistant. I wasn't willing to hear what was being said. And yeah. I've found later in life, the therapy worked better because I was able to take a note, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. What it is. Yeah, totally. Just using that actor brain of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, take a little direction. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I did a bit of counseling 10 years ago when I got pretty depressed leading up to the 10-year anniversary of my father passing. And to the point where it was affecting my life, and I was just very emotional and kind of all over the place. And my mom was just like, you know what, you need to go talk to someone. You should just book a counseling session with your GP just to get your thoughts out. And and I did do that, and that was my first in Canada, and a lot of people in Canada don't know this, part of our healthcare system, apparently you can book with your general practitioner an hour-long counseling session. It's hard to get just because they're so busy, but you know, they can take the time to sit down and do a sort of basic counseling session with you. And my GP, who retired last year, was the same GP I had since I was a baby. So she knew my whole family history, everything. Oh, yeah, Dr. Sharon Schaefer.
Oh, wow. She was the best. Massive shout out. She listens. Best. I can promise you that.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Dr. Schaefer. You're the best. Happy retirement. She's a long-time listener, no-time caller, never called.
Never called in. Can't get those lines, phone lines weird. Back up. Sorry about
that,
guys.
No one has managed to call in. The phone lines have been down for 70 episodes.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah. She gave me some counseling, and it actually was the biggest help since my father had passed away. That kind of got me to a level where I could deal with it so much better. But this is my first time doing therapy. So it's, you know, mental health is really important to me, and it's certainly a time in the world when I've really needed it for so many, you know, reasons. So I'm a pretty open book about it. Like I said, I am a private person. I haven't posted about my stepdad, and I haven't really talked to my friends that much. They know, like a few friends I've told about it, but I've been so private about it. So in a way, this is like my way of talking about it publicly, but it's also safe because I'm just here with a couple buddies. talking about it.
Yeah, I don't let anyone listen to this podcast. Okay, good. Secret safe great. With me. Don't great. Worry about it. Okay, basically, perfect. I record it, I release it into my iTunes. Somehow it leaked to you, and that's it.
So okay, perfect.
It leaked.
Got it.
Couple things. Lots to unpack here.
There is a lot. I've unloaded so much shit on you. It's not even
you
funny.
Have not from the you drop. Have. You have, well, first of all, from the drop was the audio issue that should have been fixed.
That's second true. That was my fault. Noted. No, noted. Let I didn't, me write that I didn't down give the, in my self-esteem I didn't, journal.
No, guys, it's my fault. I didn't give the clear sub instructions, and I had a tech problem for, some people are saying, upwards of 10 minutes. Okay. but a couple things. One, I'm someone that up until quite recently, and really this podcast has been a huge help, I kept things close to the chest as well. It was a need to know basis. Like, I would tell you that something had happened if I was bailing on you and needed to explain why mm-hmm, I was mm-hmm. bailing, right? Things like that, when it was like necessary that I had to say something, but kept it close to the chest. And this is why therapy exists, because sometimes we love our friends. They're there for us. You could have called me. I would have sat on the phone with you for hours. Of course, we surround ourselves with people that we love for a reason. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need to hear something from a medical professional, because it's like your friends can't always help. We can be there for you, but we can't always help, because we only have so many tools based on our personal experiences. Whereas, like, for me, and this isn't the same for everyone, but for me, I like talking to a therapist, because I'm like, oh, your only job is to help people through stuff like this. So you're able as a professional to leave your shit at the door so that it's just about me and my issue. With totally. Friends, we bring in our own stuff, because that's what we do as friends, to yeah. relate. But sometimes that doesn't always come as a comfort to me. Do you experience anything like that, or is it just that you're not used to chatting?
Well, first of all, the crazy thing about chatting with my therapist is that I know nothing about him. I know absolutely nothing about it, because you're on the clock and it's costing you money. And so they're like, let's talk about you. You know, like, every once in a while, I like to try and ask a question, but it doesn't really get that far. But I'm like, this dude's a mystery to me.
Yeah, they won't do it. Being like, oh, is that your wife texting you? Like, they will not do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And my dude's kind of my age, which I kind of liked. You know, we can sort of relate. But every once in a while, he'll, like, raise his arm and he's got, like, these, like, tattoos on his arm. I'm like, oh, what do those mean? And like, whoa, is this guy a rebel? Like, what's his deal? Like, I just don't, he's a mystery to me. So it feels a little odd, like, unpacking my fucking soul to him. But also there's a safety in the sense that there's no history there. It's a blank slate. I know because I saw on the internet, on his website, that he's a professional. So I trust that somehow. You know, I just assume that it's not a fake website. Website that someone sent to me, and it's like just some guy who's gaslighting a whole bunch of people and making money off of it.
What a weird thing to gaslight. Like, he still has to listen to you talk. Like, he still has to put the time in. So it's like,
what if he was like a reject from like psychotherapy school, and he's like, no, I can do this. I know I've got the goods. And he just sets up a fake website and just has like a full slate of people. And he's like, I'm doing God's work right now.
Yeah.
I'm
he dropped out of this. School and just took a web design class to get the website. Up and
he
running.
Did a master class in psychotherapy, and he's like, I can do this.
I got this.
I watched a YouTube video on Carl Jung. And I know my friends are there for me if I ever want to talk about it. And there's a few that, I mean, I will say, I lived with two buddies from university when we all first moved to Toronto after university. I was in theater school, my dad passed away in August, right before I went back into second year of theater school, which is kind of like your crazy, shitty, hard year out of the 3 years. Okay. It's like 6 days a week, 14-hour days, work to do at the end of the day when you get home. It's like really tiring shit. And so my dad died in early August, and I was back in school in a month. So I really only had like a month to sort of try and get my shit together, and I went off on a road trip.
That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, I basically, my brother gave me his GMC Jimmy, And I drove it to New Brunswick to visit family and drove it down to Connecticut to visit a buddy and then back to Toronto by myself. And I just kind of escaped my family and escaped everything. And just kind of, you know, I'm a bit of a loner. I'm pretty good at spending time on my own, pandemic aside, which has been pretty fucking tough. Just knowing that you can't see people, it just puts a different roadblock on you psychologically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I generally can be quite a loner, and so I like the open road. I like getting out and getting out into nature and things like that. And that kind of helped. But theater school was so busy that I just kind of launched into the work, and that was my distraction from dealing with my grief. And I wouldn't talk to anybody about it. And one of my roommates, God bless his soul, was the only person in my life, family, friends, everybody. He was the only person in my life who would like knock on my door and be like, "Hey buddy, how you doing?" And he could tell that I was just in a bad state on, you know, these odd times. And he was like, "Hey, do you want to come join me for a bourbon?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, sure. Okay." So he'd come and we'd pull out a bottle of bourbon and he'd pour me one, he'd pour one for himself, and we'd just sit there and drink. And he would just get me to talk. He would just get me talking. He was the only person in my life who would do this for me. And I gotta say, I mean, it's 20 years later, it still chokes me up to think about it.
Don't be sorry. That's a good friend, and you can get emotional thinking about someone that like was there for you in a time in your life when you needed them.
Yeah.
You know?
But I've never forgotten it, and you know, I send him messages every once in a while to remind him of how much I appreciated that. And I think he appreciates those messages. And, you know, if you've got a friend in your life who's been there for you, send him a message just randomly out of the blue just saying thank you, because I think that can go a really long way for them. You know, it's a little reciprocal thing that you can give them. But, you know.
I agree with that. I agree with the letting them know.
Random acts of love and kindness for your friends and for strangers is like, it just does a world of difference for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes we think, like, you know, for all we know on his end, he thought he was bugging you or something.
Yeah,
and it's like, to good to clarify, to be like, hey, that worked. Yeah, that helped. Yeah. That meant a lot. And it's, you know, sometimes it takes a bit of persistence and pushiness to let somebody in. So, for example, like him knocking on your door, hitting you up, constantly asking you to come in for a bourbon, but it's like... Yeah. He wore you down a bit, and you talked.
Yeah, he did. I would be, you know, drinking my bourbon and like bawling my eyes out, and he'd just sit there with me in our living room and just listen and just be just the sweetest roommate about it. So shout out to Tyler Murray, who's a fantastic actor and acting coach, and he lives in Toronto. He does a lot of theater, does film and TV. Great guy, just fantastic guy, and a great dad too. You know, I generally don't lean on my friends for stuff like that. And, but what's been nice is I've had friends lean on me for that, because out of all my friends, I was the one that lost a parent kind of first
at 22. And early on, yeah.
Yeah. So yep. I've always had, or I've been there for friends who've lost their father. And that's nice that I'm able to kind of help them through a little bit of perspective to be there for them. And
I'm sure they're so grateful for that, because, you know, if when you're talking to your friends that haven't experienced a loss, it's like, of course they're there for you and they're like, I feel bad, whatever, but it's like they don't actually get it.
Yeah.
And it's so like, it's an unfortunate circumstance, but like, how nice that you went through something terrible, but it made you the person that got it. Mm-hmm. So that when someone does come to you, you're like, well, at least this grief is serving a purpose now to help somebody else.
Yeah, totally. And I'm all for that. I mean, it's part of the community that you set up for yourself, and that stuff is really important. And, you know, in an odd way, I've had friends. So, I mean, okay, this is crazy, but the two times... both my dads have died, I've been in the company of the same friend. So when when I found out that my father died, I was working in Toronto, an office job at my mom's office, working for a job placement agency that she ran. And my buddy had gotten a summer job there as well. One of the sweetest guys I know, because he was trying to get into med school and he just, you know, he needed to pay bills in the meantime. And he was working really hard to get into med school. And he was there, you know, a couple cubicles away when I got the phone call. It was very sudden. And about a year last Christmas, his dad passed away a week before Christmas, and I was able to rush home and be there with him. But then this year, so now he lives in Vancouver with his wife and newborn baby, or one-year-old. And he went to med school, and he's now an incredible doctor with the... He was with SickKids in Toronto for a while, and now he's with Children's Hospital in Vancouver. And he works with premature babies. And so he's one of the kindest men I know. And oddly enough, you know, he's in Vancouver where I ended up during this pandemic, because I got out of Los Angeles around July. I just put everything in storage and got the fuck back to Canada, because I was just like, you know what? I need a break right now during this pandemic. It's a little crazy.
Yeah.
And he's in Vancouver. He's one of my best friends. And you know, he was there for me. We spent our Christmas together this year because we couldn't go back to our families. So we were in our own little bubble together. And of course, when my stepfather, Ian, passed away, and he knew Ian because, you know, growing up, he's an old friend of mine. He was there for me again. And I spent the whole weekend with him and his wife and his baby. So it's just so crazy that when I lost both the fathers in my life, that that friend was there for me to be a support and a rock. And I was... You know, we had a lot of chats about his dad passing away, and of course I was getting some medical advice just about strokes and things like that while my stepdad was in the hospital from him. And it's just so odd, you know, how these people can be in your lives, how random life puts you together with people at certain moments.
At when it's supposed to be like that's I've had that happen where it's like, you know, there'll be a friend, say someone, because I don't know, how did you keep in contact with him, like frequently, or was it like you catch up every once in a while?
We're not the best at keeping in touch, but certainly like being in the same city has helped a lot, and being in a bubble of sorts during the pandemic has helped a lot as well. But you know, I'm not the best at staying in touch with people, and it doesn't mean I don't care, and it doesn't mean that I don't love someone. It's just I'm just terrible at keeping in touch.
But it's not. But maybe it's just that you're supposed to keep in touch and correspond when you're supposed to do it. Like it's not like it doesn't, because I have my, say, five or six people that I talk to frequently, right? Your core group, whatever.
Your core, sure.
Yeah, you know, and then everyone else, it's like they come and go when they come and go, but it's like people show up sometimes, right place, right time. Like they say that about acting and how you book a job, and they're like, hey man, right place, right time. Yeah, it really does matter.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's the same in my life. Like you said, for example, sending your friend a message to be like, hey, you were really there for me. That really mattered, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's having a terrible day, or he thinks he's a bad person, or he's whatever, right? And then it's like he gets that message and it's like, man, you guys might not have talked in a year or 6 months or whatever. And then all of a sudden, right when he needed you for that little pick-me-up, you were there. So it's like, I think it's a beautiful thing. What luck to be able to be with the person that brought, that was there for you the first time, and now the second time, especially when it's like, I have to say, Christian, like it's a you know, both fathers, like
right,
the exact same thing, like very, that's, I can't believe that. Like how lucky, I just can't believe that you happened to be up there. Like you could have been here.
I know.
And then how hard to be in LA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
We were not bubbling. we were trapped, all of us.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you guys had the service this morning virtually. Everybody was there.
Oh, God. Yeah. A virtual funeral. Yeah.
How did How did that feel? If you don't mind me asking, how did that feel?
I dreaded it leading up to it. I hated the idea, but it was something that my stepsister, my stepfather's daughter, really wanted for closure. She needed to do something for her dad, and I totally understood that. And my mom felt the same way. They both agreed that we needed to do something, and we'll do something in person when we can as a family, and maybe some more friends of Ian's, you know, when we can be in the garden together and actually like hug and you know, have a drink and laugh and cry and do all the things you do at a funeral. But we needed to do something, and I absolutely agree with that. So whether or not, I mean, first of all, nobody wants to go to a funeral.
In general,
nobody wants to go to one. But the idea of doing it on Zoom, I really didn't like, because any myriad of things can go wrong, whether it's technical. Also, the fact that anybody at this funeral can watch me grieve and cry. Like, imagine a funeral where everybody is facing you while you're sitting there. You feel like you're just sitting there, and everybody has at least the potential to watch you the whole time while you're at a funeral. Like, leave me alone. I wish I could have, you know, turned my camera off and just listened.
But then you can't be that guy, right? It's like you're in such a bad situation, because if you do that, then it's even a bigger problem.
Totally.
That you turned your camera off.
Yeah, totally.
But
my family's really good at humor. We're really good at laughing. We like to do that. We're very inappropriate, which is fun. And obviously we weren't, you know, laughing and being inappropriate too much on this Zoom funeral. Zoom fume.
Zoom fume.
The old Zoom fume.
Okay, guys, he said it. It's not me making fun. It was his words. We're going to use it moving forward. Zoom, but he fume. Said it. Get that on the record. Not me. I didn't make fun
Got
of anything.
It. Got it. Clear. Absolutely claro. You know, but there were a few technical things that went wrong. So, like the person hosting the Zoom was like, instead of us singing along with like hymns and stuff like that, like my stepdad's niece is a United minister. So she ran it, and her husband did all the tech for it. But you know, you have to make allowances for things going glitchy and wrong. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be very unhappy with the process. So a few things went wrong, which kind of helps lighten things if you are able to look at it from that perspective, which we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, like, you know, you're playing a hymn and, you know, it cuts off very suddenly at the end or something like that. Or he's sharing his screen and it's like a YouTube video of like, you know, a choir singing a hymn. It's just so odd and so weird. And it's just so fucking 2020 and 2021. It's so pandemic to me. But at the same time, it's nice. And I didn't realize how much I really needed it. And I was like, I was grumpy. I had no sleep. I had some coffee in me. I put on a shirt and a tie, and I'm wearing fucking jeans and Crocs to my fucking stepdad's funeral on Zoom. God. You know, like, it's just so fucking ridiculous.
I bet he would have loved it.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys
are
jokers, I bet he'd have loved it.
Yeah. Well, he was such a proper guy, too. Like, he was kind of like an old school Anglo Montrealer kind of waspy, you know, like, he would get dressed up for things, or he liked to, and he relaxed. We all relaxed over the years. But when we were kids, like, if we had like a church service to go to, or like a Sunday, even a Sunday dinner, would be like, well, put on a jacket and a tie, and you know,
wow.
Like, oh yeah, totally. We totally relaxed over the years. You know, when we were kids, it was quite traditional in so many ways. And he was not very super religious. If anything, my parents would go, you know, on Christmas Eve to the church because my mom likes the music or something like that. Or, you know, it's like
we did the same.
Yeah. And it's what they were raised with. And we went to church just for those traditions for like a year or two when we were kids, just so that we knew what that was. But we were never religious. Certainly I'm not going to talk to my family, but I'm not super religious. So, you know, in one of the songs, and of course they played, Hallelujah, the Leonard Cohen song, because he was from Montreal, and my stepdad loved that song, and it's one of my favorite songs. But Leonard Cohen is kind of too dour in his singing. You know, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor vowel, and it's like not maybe the best for a funeral. And so my family chose the version that I hate the most, which is the Katie Lang version, which I'm not a big fan of. I love the Jeff Buckley version, and there's all these different versions out there. Brandi Carlile's got a great version. Rufus Wainwright has a great version.
I love Brandi Carlile.
Oh my God, Brandi Carlile is a goddess. She's just, if you don't know Brandi Carlile, just go on Spotify and just hit random, because you're in for a fucking treat. She is just amazing, and I've seen her live in concert, and it's incredible. Shout out to the Danforth Music Hall.
But they didn't. But they didn't pick a good version.
I tried to suggest some other versions, and they stuck with that one, and I was fine with it. Because when I listened to it at the funeral, I was like, "Oh, this is like clear and safe and comfortable, and it's actually the best one for that situation." So they did, in fact, pick the right one. But at the end of the song, the guy running the Zoom like saw that the next video was about to load up, so he like pressed cancel. And then this ad for Aveeno with Jennifer Aniston came on YouTube.
Of course, so, she butted her way into
fucking
your Zoom
Jennifer
feud.
Jennifer Aniston's hawking her Aveeno in the funeral.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston, get the fuck off my hymn. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now?
I was just thrilled that a celebrity showed up to this Zoom feud. I think that really was a highlight. Someone more famous than me, and my family was thrilled that she would take the time.
She looks great.
I mean, her skin was glowing. Her skin was flawless.
Well, the Zoom Fune was sponsored by Aveeno.
Yes, by Aveeno.
As we know.
This is true. Absolutely
as
true.
As we know. But wait, so was it? Did everybody laugh, or was it what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to look around at the other windows, and some people were laughing, and I was like, you can't help but laugh about that. And my siblings and I, we had a good laugh over Jennifer Aniston showing up to the fucking funeral. And of course, only at a fucking pandemic Zoom Fune you would have fucking advertising with Jennifer Aniston show up. Like just so ridiculous. So fucking ridiculous.
It's so bad.
It's so weird. It's just so strange. But, you know, it's so fitting. And anything for a laugh in that situation. Because you look for those moments of, like, easing of the tension. And it really does help to have a good laugh. And
well, it's like people will tell the stories being like, he sure loved wine. And this one night we were, you know what I mean? I will say, I have this was a funeral many, many years ago, but it was a friend that had an accident while visiting in California and had fallen off of a cliff.
Oh, God.
And the girl that she was on the road trip with spoke at her funeral, and she was like, boy, we love to drink and go out. And I was like, I don't know about this. Like, it was like, was the one, I appreciate a person's story, but it was the one, because it happened at night, and then it was like shady circumstances. And I was like, this is the one time, maybe don't share the personal story, because I think it's actually raising quite a few questions right now.
Yeah.
And it's like not fun the way Jennifer Aniston is.
Totally, totally.
But okay, so some people had a laugh.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just so strange. Like, and because it's Zoom, and you at a funeral, you're so in your head anyways that you miss things. Mm-hmm. So like at the end, they played Amazing Grace on, like, you know, some version of it on bagpipes, and of course you're fucking bawling your eyes out. But it ended very abruptly, and the Zoom call just shut off. And I was like, is that the end? Like, I don't remember. Was there a benediction, or was there like closing statement or something? Like, I don't remember. Was that supposed to happen? It said meeting was ended by the host or something like that. And I was like, and I spilled my coffee all over my table, and I was like, oh fuck.
Oh no, your Crocs.
And I was like, yeah, my Crocs were okay. They just washed right off.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah,
thank God.
It was just such an abrupt ending. And of course, like, we don't have printouts of like the order of things.
So nobody knew.
And so I was like, are we going to get another link? Like, was that by mistake? So like for like 10 minutes, I was like hovering around my computer, like in this weird, like, post-funeral Zoom fune, emotional, you know, like, what
haze.
The fuck is going on? Haze. And I was, like, so confused. And then finally, I just jumped on a WhatsApp call with my brother and my sister, who was at my mom's house. My brother was in the States, so, you know, we just had a quick call and a laugh about the funny things that happened during during the whole Zoom fune. And it was just so weird. I mean, it was important that we did it. I came into it grumpy as fuck, not wanting to be there. And I was like, you know, like, I'm so angry right now. I'm not even emotional. Like, I just don't even want to be here. I just want to turn my camera off. I was so huffy and like a petulant child. And like the second the fucking thing started, I'm like bawling my eyes out. And, you know, it was quite cathartic in many ways. But at the same time, you're like, oh, fuck, people can see me. So you're trying to like hide crying. Whereas like at a funeral, you just all be facing the same direction and you can like
exactly.
just quietly sit there and just bawl your face off and not worry about it. So it's just it sucks. Like, if there's any argument to do what our health experts are saying to get out of this faster, it's that you do not want to go through a fucking Zoom funeral. Like, it just sucks. And people are going to die of things naturally, like, mm-hmm. that happens in life. Not everybody's dying mm-hmm. from COVID, but it sucks. If it's COVID, it sucks. If it isn't, it sucks saying goodbye to a father on FaceTime. It sucks trying to close the book on someone over Zoom, where so much shit, where fucking Jennifer Aniston can show up with her Aveeno products. Like, it sucks.
That bitch, if she shows up to my funeral, I'm going to rise from the dead and fucking bust a nut on her.
But I mean, I'll still be impressed if it's in person and she still has like an Aveeno
product.
It's
true. You
in
know what? Yeah. You know what? It's true.
That's
if
impressive.
She shows up and hands out free Aveeno for everybody, actually, I'm going to be fine with it. I'm
Instead
actually going to be
Eucharist,
okay with it.
You get a little like Aveeno. Little gift bag.
Can I ask a question with a potential follow-up question?
No. Yes, of course.
Oh, I was like,
I would
okay.
never shut you down.
No. And then it just says yeah. Zoom meeting Zoom ended by host.
And Jennifer Aniston shows up immediately.
I just run my own ad.
Yeah.
okay. So the question was going to be, did you, I don't know how it worked. Did you speak at all? Or was it like just a few people? Because obviously that can be very disorganized.
Yeah. I didn't know who's going to speak. My stepsister had arranged everything and had reached out to the core family to ask who wanted to speak. And my brother and I had both said that we'll save saying anything until we do like a get together in person. Because this is like something that my stepsister needed. I figured it's more on my stepsister and my stepbrother to say something if they want to, and my mother.
Yep.
And it ended up just being my mom and my stepsister speaking.
Okay.
Yeah. And and that was fine. And my mom called me 2 nights ago with her like running by her. I mean, what do you call it? A speech? It's not a speech.
I was just thinking
like, what is
the
it
exact
called?
Same.
Because
isn't the eulogy the one main person and then the
yeah,
other
isn't that
people
the minister
just speak?
That gives the eulogy? Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. That's why I just said if you talked at it, because I'm like, I don't actually know what it's called when you deliver
something
but you're not running
I bet it's something that is very obvious, and as soon as someone says it, like, oh yeah, the flurkey. Oh, of course. What was I thinking?
Yes, of course, the flurkey.
The flurkey. Oh, I'm an idiot.
In the meantime, we'll call it the flurkey. So your mom ran her flurk past you.
So she had the flurk ready, and I like, had to like give her like acting notes on it.
Take a note.
Yeah, take a note, Mom. And I was like, well, you know, you need to humanize it more. It's reading like a David Mamet monologue right now. It's very, like, disjointed.
Oh, my God.
A reference that she wouldn't get at all. But I was like, Mom, you got to, like, this a little bit more human. I had to, like, coach
your
my mom.
Your poor mom.
I know. No. This poor woman just wanted me to say, it's great, Mom, to stop worrying about it. And me being the fucking asshole that I am, I was like, well, it's very terse, and you might want to put some emotion into it, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Anyway, but you have to say that, though. It's like...
If I was smart,
you know what
I would
I mean?
Have said, it's great, Mom. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. You're going to do fine. Because at the end of the day, no one's expecting you to give, like, a fucking Winston Churchill speech at a funeral. They just want to hear your thoughts and be mm-hmm. there for you and know where you're at and know that you're okay. And... And also here's maybe a couple funny quips about the person that we all collectively love. And she did that. She nailed it. But it's also weird because she's like sitting at her desk in her basement with like, you know, all these like taped pictures of family to the wall, like off, you know, off centered. And she's like at her little business table where she's like got like the webcam up here and she looks like a little granny and she's reading.
Oh.
You know, it's very cute, but it's just so odd, you know, because it's a funeral, but it's not. It's like, here's the thing. My mom, my stepsister, and my sister were all able, like as soon as it looked like my stepdad was going downhill, the doctor threw all the COVID protocols out the window. And he's like, if there's anybody in town, get them here because he's going to die in the next couple days. He could die today.
God.
He could die in a couple days. So just get people here. So, okay, let's get into the nitty gritty about it. My stepdad had his stroke. Mm-hmm. And it affected the occipital part of the brain, which is the back of the brain, which deals with sight. So.
Okay.
His eyes were fine, but the part of the brain that interprets what the eye sees was fucked. So he was blind, but he didn't realize he was blind. So he didn't know that, A.
Okay.
B, he had a 30-second short-term memory. He had a long-term memory still. He still remembered who we were, but he had no memory of what COVID was. So it's like his memories stopped like a year ago kind of sort of thing.
Okay.
But he just... A short-term memory was about 30 seconds long. So if, you know, he asked me where I was, I'd say, oh, I'm in Vancouver. What are you doing in Vancouver? Oh, I'm working on a show. What show are you working on? I'd tell him, and he'd be like, okay, and where are you again? I'm like, I'm in Vancouver. He's like, oh, what are you doing in Vancouver? So it was like talking to a goldfish, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And after the first week of the stroke, he lost the ability to walk, and so unaided. So he was, and that's partly because he couldn't see, and his midline was off to the left, like he was leaning to the left all the time, like 15 degrees or something like that. So like not having sight and having your midline screwed up by the stroke means you can't walk. You need two people on either side of you. And he was 6'5". He was a big, tall dude. He needed two people to go to the bathroom, to brush his teeth, to wash his hand. And we were expecting 2 years, 3 years of this, long-term care. We were trying to figure out what the future was going to be like. And it's stressful. My mom's 80, turning 81 next month. And he's 79 and in the hospital. And, you know, some days he would remember that my mom was his wife, and some days he wouldn't.
That must have been so hard on her.
Oh, just insane. And she's such a tenacious, tough, feisty woman who's way younger than her age, but you know, it's still very, very tough. And she ran on adrenaline for a month, basically. We all did. I mean, it was the most stressful month of my life, I think. And I was stuck in Vancouver feeling useless. So because I was in Vancouver, I would get information every morning when I woke up, because I'm 3 hours behind. So I would wake up to like a whole text thread from the family of what was happening. And I got to tell you, Elena, like I got this mild, I know we throw around this term a lot these days, and I think it's because we have a better understanding of it now, but I had a mild PTSD from waking up. Like I dreaded waking up every single morning because I knew that I was going to get a slew of text messages to read the second I woke up about my stepfather's health and existence and lack thereof.
I think that's valid.
It was terrible. Like waking up every morning was so stressful, and it was really quite terrible. And then the day on the Friday before he died, I woke up and it was great. My mom was like, I was with Ian today. He was cracking jokes. He was fun. He was, you know, doing great. And I was like, oh my God, today's going to be a good day. Awesome. So I just kind of had some work to do in the morning, and I was just getting stuff done. And then around noon, my mom called. So I picked up the phone and she was like, here's the deal. So the doctor had noticed that my stepdad had internal bleeding that had just popped up. So amongst everything that was going on, they were finding fresh blood and also old or black blood in his stool, which means somewhere in his bowels he had internal bleeding. And when you have both those things at the amount that it was coming out, it was not good. And they said, listen, we could try and do an invasive procedure to find out where it's most likely an ulcer that is ruptured. We can go in and try and stop the bleeding, but his quality of life would be very bad. He would have to be lying on his side all the time with tubes coming out of him, and he wouldn't remember what was going on. He'd be trying to pull the tubes out constantly, like, just because of the state of his memory.
That's what I was just thinking before you said that. Exactly. I was like, wait, the 32nd.
Yeah, he's not going to remember what the hell's going on. And he was, that whole month when I would talk to him every once in a while, every few days, we were all trying to, like, it was like we were just trying to unlock him. It was like he was stuck in his own mind on a loop and couldn't get out because he was there. Like, it sounded like him. He was weak in the voice, but he was there. And we were trying to unlock him from his own mind. I mean, the brain is so fucking fascinating and so strange and weird and unexplainable. And he was in there, but he was lost. It's the strangest feeling in the world to talk to him, but, like, know that you can't reach through him. And, like, you just want to pull him out from the ether and bring him back into the light. And, you know, at 79, you just don't have the neural plasticity to be able to repair from a stroke. And they also found that he had had two massive strokes previously that we didn't know about, that he didn't even know about, that had healed over. And my mom had said that he had once a year, or like twice that she could think of, he just got super tired and just like he had the flu and slept for a week. Like, would just go to bed and just like would sleep for a week. He had no signs of stroke. This stroke had no signs of stroke. It just looked like he had the flu. We thought COVID. So we had actually booked a COVID test for him, and then wham, he had that stroke. But there was no lead up. He was just throwing up a lot, and he had a headache, there was no blurred vision, no slurred speech, none of that. He was just, it was flu-like symptoms. It was so different. So he had had some major strokes in the past, but it had never been resilient. Looked at. He was so strong. I mean, he did 79 years without a problem. He was just an athletic, healthy guy. And he had been dealing with some health issues this past year that probably contributed to the stroke. And all stuff that was manageable, but his body was dealing with so much. He had, you know, a little bit of kidney disease that he was working with. He had high blood pressure that he was medicated for. He had something else I can't remember. Oh, a blood disorder that we thought might have been blood cancer, but it turns out it was a precondition that could turn into down the road blood cancer. Yep. It was something called MGUS, a blood disease or a blood condition. And all of it was manageable, but it was just like old age, body breaking down stuff. And then along comes this stroke, and his body was dealing with just so much stuff that, you know, when your body's under that much stress, it just gets ulcers. Whether they're in your stomach, whether they're in your bowels, wherever. And if they're bad enough, they can cause internal bleeding, and the body just breaks down. It's too much for the immune system to handle.
Yeah.
You're old, and your body's fighting a lot, and your body also knows when it can win the fight and when it can't. And I think his body knew, and I think it was just like, time to shut things down. And so I got this call from my mom at noon. The doctor had told her the news. We had already discussed as a family to place a do not resuscitate order on his file in case he had another stroke or something like that, because he would not want to be. He was very proud. He would not want to be a bother. He would not want to be in a hospital. Yeah. He hated hospitals. You have to honor that. And that was the first thing the doctor said. The doctor was like, first think of his wishes, then think of your wishes.
Exactly, dude.
Yeah, which is heavy. It's hard to do, but we honored that. And so the doctor said, listen, we can either do this invasive procedure, or we can let nature take its course. We'll make it as comfortable as possible for him. He will have no idea what's going on. And we just let him bleed out. And basically what happens is he bleeds out, and eventually blood stops going to the heart, and he has a mild cardiac event, and he passes away. It's fairly peaceful. It could take anywhere from, it could happen to today, it could happen in 2 days. We just don't know. It's up to him at this point. And so we decided that's what's going to be. And so my mom called me at noon and she was like, Chris, this is what's happening. We can't let him suffer anymore. We're going to do this. And I'm rushing to the hospital and your sister's rushing to the hospital and your stepsister. And we're going to call you on FaceTime and you have to say goodbye to your stepdad. And I was just like, what? What? I thought today was a good day. Like this, I thought everything was good.
Yeah.
It just came out of left field. I mean, it really just came out of nowhere. And so then I sat around for 4 hours, which was the longest 4 hours of my life, just waiting for the phone to ring. And then finally, I got a text message from my sister who was at the hospital. And of course, like double masked, visor, smock, everything. But it was good that they all could be there. And they were just basically doing FaceTimes with family. So his son, my stepbrother, was in New York and was currently trying to figure out a way to quarantine and get back to see his dad. But my brother was in the States with his family. And then, of course, all the ladies in the family were around my stepdad. And my sister was like, okay, I'm going to, like 4 hours later, was finally like, okay, I'm going to call you in about 10 to 15 minutes. I was like, okay, great. And I was so nervous. I was drinking coffee. I was pacing for 4 hours. And I was like, you know what? I've got 10 to 15 minutes. I'm going to pee now because I got to pee. I got to get out of the way. And so I go to the bathroom and I start peeing. The second, Elena,
I knew it.
I start peeing.
I knew it.
I get this FaceTime from my sister, and it's like my dying stepdad is on the other line. Like I can't take the call. Yeah. So
I
pinch off the piss, which I don't do a good job of. I start pissing down my pants, and I'm like answering the FaceTime while I'm trying to, with one hand, do up my half pissed in pants, Alana. And I'm trying to get out of the bathroom by the time the FaceTime opens up so that I'm like in the living room and you can't tell that I've pissed my pants and that my pants are undone. And I'm sitting there and I have to fucking say goodbye to my stepdad.
And so, oh my fucking God.
This is also the first time I FaceTimed with him since he had the stroke. Before then, it's all been phone calls. And I'd had one picture from my mom of him lying in the hospital bed. But it's shocking to see a live video feed of your stepdad. He had shaved his whole life, and here he was a month later, and the first time I'd ever seen him with a beard. And he looked so handsome and skinny. And he had wasted away quite a bit, even over the course of that month. And he was in a great mood. He was in great spirits. He was cracking jokes. He had no idea he was about to die, which is better, I think.
I agree.
It's sorry.
No, don't apologize, please. Not on this podcast.
Harder for us, but better for him. And, you know, he was the sharpest he had been that whole month. And it was so hard to understand why he was going to die when he was seemingly the best that he had been. And so we had our regular useless chat of, you know, explaining that I'm in Vancouver and what I'm doing there and all this stuff and just shooting the shit. And my pants have piss in them. And I'm staring at the mountains in Vancouver, which is the view that I somehow lucked out in this sublet that I'm in. And then, you know, he's pretty tired. But he's cracking jokes. And he's got his girls around him. And all of a sudden my sister's like, okay, well, we're going to go. And it was just so sudden, and the moment came up on without any warning, and I had to say goodbye to my stepdad.
I'm so sorry, Christian.
I It was just so rushed.
Yeah.
And I started crying. You know, like, what do you say to someone when you know you're saying goodbye to them? Like, what do you say to them?
Yeah.
And so I'm saying, I love you. I'm saying I love you. I'm saying you were a great father. And he can hear that I'm crying, but he can't see me because he's blind. And so he can hear that I'm crying, but he thinks I'm joking. So he goes, oh, you were always such a bullshitter. And that was the fucking last thing he said to me. Oh, you're such a bullshitter. Because he didn't know I was actually crying. Which I liked. I think that's fitting.
I think
that's
it
a fun
is too.
Thing to go off on.
I think it is too. Honestly, I'm just so glad that you got to say goodbye.
Yeah, so am I, because I didn't get that with my dad. I didn't get that with him. And with my real dad, my other dad, yeah. I don't know. And that was it. And then that was the end of the call. And they had other calls to make. And, you know, he was getting tired. And they had other family members to call. And then I just sat there. Just so alone in this apartment. Like every day of this pandemic, you know, since I've been up in Vancouver, at least. The same feeling I had today after the funeral. You know, you see people that you love on Zoom. You see your friends on Zoom, like you right now. And then you finish the call and then you're still just all alone.
Oh my God, Christian, I won't end this meeting.
Okay, great.
You can hang out with Norm and I all day. I'm
perfect,
like,
great.
Just so everybody knows, I'm bawling my eyes out and I've never met this man. And I'm like everything you're saying sounds like so beautiful, and like all I keep thinking is like, I'm just so glad you had a second chance to be able to say goodbye to a father figure.
Yeah.
So that 10 years from now on the anniversary, it might not affect you the same way it did the first time around.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're just being so brave in your willingness to process this, in your willingness to sit alone with it, in your willingness to talk about it. And it's like, I mean, I did not know this was going to be the podcast today.
No,
and thank God it was. No, I've never been more grateful for someone not bailing, because it's like, these are the stories, Christian, that people need to hear, because I do know people who have lost someone.
Yeah.
Not COVID related.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately COVID related as well, which is terrible.
Yeah.
And, these are the conversations people have to have, because this word closure, people are really struggling with
it's
it.
It's really fucking hard.
It's really it hard. It sounds like it's really fucking hard. And I am excited and grateful that people will be able to hear one way that it can happen.
Yeah.
And even like, if you can't say goodbye to somebody or something sudden, of course that's going to have an effect on you, but the fact that as much as you didn't want to, you fought against yourself and went this morning and got to like have that experience with your family when we are having zero experiences with our family right now is like, it's just warming my heart. Like,
it's important too. And I'm glad I did, obviously. And I was happy to see my family as much as I dreaded the experience. But, you know, I was thinking about it. I went out for like a fucking 4-hour walk today. My legs are going to fall off, but I was just so angry and so upset, and like I said, I would swing between a 3.5 and a 6 because I just got into random conversations with strangers on the street and stuff like that, and like, little interactions like that kind of made me feel human again, and like I was part of something. And
because they don't know, right?
They don't know.
Just, so it's just someone being friendly. They don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nice to find those little bits of humanness. But I mean, I was just been so angry, and I was walking around, and a buddy of mine that I was chatting with in California the other day, he's got two kids, and he was saying just over text, you know, how there's been like suicides at one of his kids' schools, and I was just thinking like how tough this must be on teenagers who and kids who are like trying to form psychological understanding of what it means to be human and part of a community and interact with others, and how stunted they're going to be from this past year, whether it's a newborn baby who hasn't been able to interact with other babies and really do some formative growing, or I mean anyone from all of us, but really like anyone who's like 0 years old up to like 18, you know, are really trying to sort their shit out. And it's just so much harder when they can't do it with the sort of freedom that you need to be able to be a growing human being. So that's why, for some reason, I mean, I know most of your listeners are children and young teens and preteens. So
and
I
thank you for
I'd
acknowledging
for
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, finally somebody shouted them out. Yeah. They don't even know who Jennifer Aniston is.
Or Aveeno, because they already have perfect skin.
They have perfect skin. They have supple
Except
skin.
The ones
they don't
who are
need
like
the
in
Aveeno.
The acne years. There's a few acne. And you know what? It gets better, because I was there too.
It gets better, guys. Hold out. It gets better. It gets better. I'm
totally
with you on that one.
Yeah.
But there was, were you, so there was some anger, and then was there
so
a way of processing?
I've just been so angry. I mean, I remember that.
You should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not
you
fair.
You should be.
It's not fair for that guy to like die, you know. I mean, okay. I mean, here's
and
something
for you
that
to not be there. And
I know. And not be able to say goodbye, not be able to see him. There's no closure. It's just so fucked. Everything is so fucked, and you know, you just got to find those things that make you happy, that calm you down, that remind you that everything's going to be okay, and that we're going to get out of this, and we're going to be together again. And you got to hold on to those, and you got to do the work. Like, it takes a lot of work to get through this pandemic, and a lot of younger people don't understand that, and a lot of older people don't understand that either. And you know, I wanted to talk about it today because it's important to. It helps me, but you know, who knows who's listening to this podcast who needs to hear it. You know, there's people having similar experiences out there, and you might want to put a death trigger warning on this episode.
I will. I'll say, yeah, I'm going to do a big trigger warning saying I once again cry. all my trigger warnings are just me crying. I never say the subject.
I don't
let people know. I don't warn anybody about what's actually being discussed.
Crying is the biggest trigger to people in the world. We all know this.
Nobody
wants to
I
see
start
Elena
crying,
sad.
Yeah, the second I start crying, people are like, this pandemic is going to be endless. Elena is going to drag this out single-handedly. I am so glad you came today. One, so that I know. Two, so that I can tell you we will see each other one day, and we're going to have the biggest, warmest hug, warmer than we've had. And you give great hugs already. And
I love a hug. I love a hug.
You love a hug. You're very good at hugging. You've got the good chest for it.
Yeah,
you're very
like
good at hugging.
Big shoulders, big chest.
It's true. No, yeah. It's like I can remember a hug. There's some people that are just really good at hugging. You're very good at hugging.
Thank you.
We will have a hug.
Great.
And I really can't thank you enough for sharing, because whether somebody's, for everyone listening, it's not necessarily even experiencing loss of like a life. It's we've lost so much in all of this of freedom and being able to go out and sanity and like friends and dating and all kinds of stuff. And it's just like, you know, I'm just glad. I hate that you had something bad happen, but I'm glad that people will be able to hear it and know that, like, we are not alone.
Yes,
and like
absolutely.
That is the takeaway. We are not alone, and
absolutely.
No matter what you're going through. And like you said something when you were talking about Ian, you had said that when he was having like the bad days or whatever, that it's like, and couldn't remember and stuff, and that he's in there, but like trapped inside and mm-hmm. like wish you could pull him out. And like, I just want to say, and I know it's not necessarily the same thing, but just to relate it with mental health stuff, you know, a lot of us are in that where we're lost and we can't find ourselves right now, or we're seeing it in our friends where we're like, I know you're in there, but this depression, this cloud, this whatever. And it's like, we will come out of this. We will come out. And I just want everyone to know that, like, whether you need to reach out to friends or to a therapist for the first time, like, there are people there. You just gave us in this episode an example of a friend that luckily happened to be there twice.
Yeah.
You know, college roommate that was there for you, therapist now there for you, a general practitioner that's there for you. So it's like, just for everybody listening, if this did trigger something, or if you're going through something, there are people there. Write me, DM me. This is, I like to make a lot of jokes. This is serious. Really DM me if you want. If you need someone to talk to, talk. I'm here. Yeah, I have, a lot of people are saying, so much time on my hands. And honestly, Norm would love for me to not be talking to him. He'd love it.
He would love for you guys. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, this is pre-pandemic. Christian can confirm. I talk to Norm too much.
Can confirm. Can confirm. 100%. Can confirm. Yeah.
But no, Christian, really thanks for not bailing. This was like my rawest episode yet.
It was pretty raw. I mean, I don't...
It was raw. And I love that. Don't you love that?
I do listen
to the podcast. Isn't that the point?
That's the point. That's the point. That's why I didn't bail. And, you know, I appreciate you having me on board. And, you know, when you suggested the timing for the day, I was like, oh, that's the same day as the funeral. But I think it's important to not shy away from these things. And I'm trying not to shy away from these things anymore, because talking is better than sitting on it.
You're doing a great job, Christian.
Thanks.
You are just showing up today, really showing up. That's like in every way. Now I feel like a fucking idiot for this part, but where can we find you on social media? I knew it was coming, and the whole time I was like, honestly, I cannot believe this. I'm about to ask him this. But it's like, you're filming something, you filmed a lot of things, you've had stuff in plenty of things in the past, but you'll have new stuff coming out, and I just want our listeners to be able to find you. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. My handle is sadboycryboy@zoomfune.com. Boy is spelled B-O-I, of course. So sad boy, cry boy,
B-O-I. Well, it's the only way to spell it.
Yeah, of course.
It's the only way to spell it.
Thank you, Avril Lavigne, for giving us that with your skater boy title. It's at Mr. Christian Bruhn. Christian with a K. Bruun. I have to like spell my name all the time because people get it wrong constantly. At Mr. Christian Bruhn. And the Mr. is only there because there's another Christian Bruhn who got at Christian Bruhn, some dude in Denmark. Who gets a lot of tweets about me. So if he's listening, which he probably is, shout out to Christian Bruhn in Denmark, who gets random tweets about me. But it's Mr. Christian Bruhn. God, now I feel stupid for my stupid Twitter handle and Instagram handle.
Don't. If you guys want to follow the podcast, we are at JenniferAnistonAvino.com.
If anybody wants to tag Jennifer Aniston in this, please feel free. Or Avino. If Avino wants to sponsor a great podcast, this is the one.
Yeah, so just find us there. Or you can find us at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. Boring. If you want to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram and at Alana_Johnson on Twitter. Christian, you're just the breath of fresh air I needed today. You really are. This was such a real conversation, and I was feeling quite happy I got to see some friends, but feeling a little emotionally depleted because I'm having a hard time like re-socializing, like teaching myself to socialize again. So this was like a connection I like desperately needed. So really appreciate that.
Well, I really appreciate you letting me come onto your podcast and just blubbering through it all.
Okay, great. Host has ended meeting.
The crazy thing was there wasn't even a word. It was just like Amazing Grace was playing. Amazing Grace. This was like getting softer and quieter and quieter. And it didn't get all the way quiet. It was just like still getting quiet when it just cut off and then host ended the meeting. No words or anything. And I was just like, what? Is that it? Is that the end?
I keep trying to be so sincere, but too many funny things happened in this episode. Okay, great. Christian, you may officially press stop recording. I will not hang up on you on the Zoom.
Oh, you're the best. Thanks for having me.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your